Lay's joining us now, as he does each and every Wednesday, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. And I guess the case is, listening to your final call, you're feeling pretty good. Hokies are going to be in on Selection Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling beyond good about that. And I think everybody else in the country feels that way too, Wes. If you win 10 games in the ACC after going 11-1 in non-conference, I don't care if you played nothing but Division II teams, you should be a lock. Just ask Josh Pastner.
Here's a question I'd love to ask Josh Pastner. Actually, I'd like to ask you about Josh Pastner and Buzz Williams. Who's your ACC Coach of the Year right now?
Because of what we've been through and because of my proximity with the program, I'm going to say Buzz Williams because I know how hard it's been without Kerry Blackshear and how hard it got again without Chris Clark over the last few weeks and how hard it is to go from what Josh Pastner has done, which is essentially what Buzz Williams did last year, albeit more quickly, to where the Hokies are right now, which is, I think, more competitive with some of the top-tier teams in the conference and a team that I feel is poised to maybe make some noise in Brooklyn, if not the week beyond as well. But Josh Pastner, what he's done, Wes, is incredible. But I think people overlook a little bit the fact that Josh Okogie has done what he's done, and I think Ben Lammers was very underrated coming into this season. I think you could see that he was poised for some of the things he's doing. So either of those guys are entirely deserving, but I think that my local ties would tend to lead to a vote for Buzz Williams, but I don't think he'll beat out Josh Pastner in that race.
See, I would vote for Buzz, and I don't have that proximity. And I appreciate what Pastner's done, and I mean I saw that team firsthand just be way more physical with VCU. And I'm looking and I'm seeing on the bubble, and I'm seeing what currently 7-8 wins, but I'm looking at Tech and they're in, and I'm looking at the situation. What you mentioned, Blackshear, and then to go 4-1 without Chris Clark, and how they're doing this. I mean, it's just. You got to tune in to see Virginia Tech because, yeah, they've been living on the bubble, but now you just want to see how they're able to do this. How are they able to get it done when they have 7 scholarship guys on the floor night in, night out?
No, I agree with you. And I think Buzz will be the last one to campaign, and he'll be the first one to tell you he's probably not going to win that award. He's got his own conspiracy theories as to why that is. But you saw that Buzz Williams wasn't the Coach of the Year last year. I really felt like he should have been ACC Coach of the Year a year ago, Wes. And I know Jim Larrañaga has done a phenomenal job in Miami and won it for the second time, but I thought that was Buzz's award last year. I'd love to see him get it this year because I think he's done every bit as good of a job this year, if not a better job. And, you know, you can talk about Roy Williams and Rick Pitino and what they've done. I think Patino's is actually more incredible based upon the level of talent or lack thereof compared to what you see coming in recruit-wise at those other blue blood programs. And I think it's just a different challenge when you're talking about competing against those programs with the cupboard not nearly as full as they have it. I think that's a different argument. So I'm with you. But again, I don't think Coach would want me out there campaigning for him. But at the same time, you know, I do have a vote, and that's where it'll be going.
He is the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor, joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. To this team being 4-1 without Chris Clark, I don't want to use the word better, but how have they been this good? How have they been able to go 4-1 without a guy who is a double-digit scorer and a lead rebounder?
You haven't necessarily seen the areas where they'll be deficient without Chris Clark because they have been better in one big area, and that is moving the basketball to create better shots and making those shots. And that means that you're not seeing the deficiencies on the glass, where Chris Clark is obviously your best player and your most athletic player. But they're more balanced in terms of where the shooters are, and it's not necessarily coincidental, Wes, that Justin Bibbs and Ahmed Hill have become more involved and have become in more of a rhythm with Chris out. It's just a different system when Chris is on the floor in terms of who you're running things through and where the offense is anchored. You're more of a transition-based team. You're more of an aggressive style team. And I know that sounds odd because the Hokies have been lighting up the scoreboard, but you're essentially an entirely different offensive look or have an entirely different offensive look. And the Hokies are really, I think, the best team that I've seen this year in terms of moving the basketball and the reversal from the perimeter, the ability to penetrate the paint with Justin Robinson and Seth Allen. And then when you space the floor with 4 to 4.5 guys, that half guy being Zach Lede, that can hurt you from outside, obviously the gaps get wider and wider in the game through the middle to get to the basket. So they're not better without Chris Clark, but they still are very capable, and they're good in different ways. And that's what you're seeing right now. You know, I think if you get to a situation where you have a game where the shots stop falling, and there's going to be one of those games, you know that. You just hope it doesn't show up at a critical time for this basketball team. You'll see the effect of Chris not on the floor more than you have to this point.
It's a good point there, because you were mentioning there about how they're able to make that extra pass to get the cleaner and the more open look. And Now, you can get the clean look. You still got to make the shot, and that's the other thing. I mean, what are they doing? Averaging at 51% from the floor, and you're seeing threes the other night. Ty Outlaw with 8 of them, breaking a school record. So that there is the other side of it. They're getting the open shot, making life easier, but they're also closing the deal.
Without question. And again, you're seeing the confluence of a number of events that just happened to coincide with Chris's absence. Justin Bibbs was starting to come out of, I don't want to call it a shooting funk when you're shooting 39% from three-point range as it was, but he's starting to get closer to the 46, 47, 50% that he was at last year, which is, I think, is more of a truer identifier of the level of shooter that he is. Same with Ahmed Hill, you know, shooting his confidence. And I think that a lot of that was coming into the picture even before Chris went down. That's a lot of the reason why they were in that game with Virginia when Chris got hurt. And of course the X factor is Ty Outlaw, who Buzz has been telling us since he got to Blacksburg how capable of a perimeter shooter he is. We've seen it in practice for those of us that go to practice, and you just hadn't seen him get into that comfort zone due to lack of playing time, lack of minutes, and lack of involvement in the offense. Because back to your previous point, this is an offense predicated on getting it to the perfect shot, and that wasn't necessarily where Ty was perched in terms of the movement a lot of times, because that's not where he was factored in terms of his spot on the floor, where he was playing the four and at times even the five. So now that he's able to rotate out to where Chris had been a lot of times, and in some cases where Bibbs has been, that shot is drawn up for him, and he's certainly exuding confidence, and that's helping everybody.
You got this clump of teams right now. You got Tech, Virginia, Miami, Duke, and I know Duke won last night, so they're a win ahead. But you have this clump there where you're still, we don't know the seedings, and we don't know exactly who's playing who or where they're playing. Well, besides North Carolina, who's the team you would love to see Virginia Tech avoid? Or who's the team you would love to see Virginia Tech avoid in their first game at the ACC tournament?
Well, it's interesting that I'm going to say this because we haven't seen them yet this year and we're about to on Saturday, but I don't think anybody really wants to play Wake Forest right now because John Collins is the most improved player in the league and maybe the player of the year in the league, and he is a guy that doesn't match up well for Tech with his size and his versatility and his ability, and then you also have Bryant Crawford, whom the Hokies are preparing for right now. That I think would be a shootout between those two teams. I don't think Tech really wants to see Clemson either, Wes, after having beaten them by 1 point at their place and at our place. It's kind of that, how difficult it is to beat a team three times, particularly when the law of averages says maybe that would go their direction the next time. I'm actually looking at the list right now, or the standings right now, and it's a matter of who would you like to see. I mean, Tech was very fortunate to beat Pitt at their place. They're a capable team. I think the only team that you'd really like to see, I guess, would be Boston College.
Well, we know the good thing is that they will not play in the first round of games because of what happened on Monday night. Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Saturday, the regular season finale at Castle, 4:30. You can catch it on 96.1 The Planet. John Lazor's with us. Do a little lightning round. We'll talk about Hokies in the combine and what Laze bought yesterday. Things that'll be mentioned in Lazor's lightning round. Next, Wes McElroy. John Lazor brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910.